Our scripture this morning is from the Old Testament, continuing in the Psalms. As I read it, it's actually difficult for me to think that I am speaking the words when in my mind I am singing them.
Correct.
many of our scriptures are perfect set to song, and this is one of them. Anyway, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The
Amen.
Word of the Lord for yeah. the people of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Right. Even before we read this psalm, we were reading and singing and praying that psalm. Because we have just the start of our New Year challenge. Reading a psalm a day. Yes, last Sunday, on the first Sunday of the new year, which was also on the first day of the new year, I invite you to embrace that challenge again, to read a psalm a day. And I was delighted when I heard and read some of you say, hey, the challenge is accepted, and I'm on it. So that way, yes, I know, thank you, Susan, you said to me, and I said thank you to Quentin and Lori and Mark Roberts who are here and yes, sent me the text message and yes, I'm on it. And I also felt joy and the warmth of the gentle spirit when I was reading the words of Psalm 5 to Mary Jean Thompson on Thursday in her house, and also Psalms 1 and 4 to Kel Kramer in his rehabilitation room. There I felt that those words found their own rhythm while I was reading those words, and those words came alive to our heart. So, again, that's why I love to embrace this challenge, and I, with my confidence, I would like you to embrace this challenge. So, to help you to feel confident about it, I would like to say a little bit more about the Book of Psalms. What do we know about the Book of Psalms? What's so special about it? The Book of Psalms is a collection of songs and prayers written to God. Yes, the Psalms are the words of people of God to God. Yes, and I will talk more about that understanding a little bit later. The Book of Psalms is classified as a book of poetry. Again, it's a collection of hymns and petitions written down in the form of a poetry. We don't come to this book to find well-thought-out theology. No. We don't come to this book to find out well-established doctrines. No. The language of the Psalms probably doesn't feel polished, advanced, or perfect. Rather, it's honest, rough, compact, somehow scratch. And these are expressions of raw human emotions. So the words of the Psalms, that's why it related to us. The Book of Psalms is but not a scrapbook collecting whatever comes. No, I can say prayers and songs are strung together by one thread, which is a heart. Heart honest with God and hungry for God. From the time of Moses around the 15th century BCE through the nearly 1,000 years to the prophets after Jewish people returned from exile, the 150 Psalms in this book were written by various authors in various locations and in their own life circumstances. King David is listed as the author of the 73 Psalms at least, 13 of which are closely associated with the events in his life. And I'm wondering whether it could be a good idea to have a message series to read David's Psalms and find lessons from his words and his life. So if you like that idea, please let me know. And knowing that the Psalms, which are written by different authors, were collected over time and compiled into a book that could be used as a corporate and individual worship, we can see that we, God's people, are encouraged to learn both the songs of the past and also to sing a new song as we find it's relatable to us. Expressing our praise and prayer to God in every circumstance, we can come to this psalm, this book of the Psalms. So no matter what the situation you are in, you can find there is one psalm that you can relate to. This is also because there are many different kinds of psalms here in this book. Psalms of thanksgiving and praise, some of which were supposed to be sung as people walk into the temple. Psalms of lament, which form one-third of the Torah in this book. Psalms of trust in God's goodness. Psalms of remembrance of how God saved God's people. And also psalms of wisdom that contrast two ways of living and the consequences of the choices we make, just like the Psalm 1 that we read together last Sunday in worship. There are also psalms of royalty, which deal with matters relating to the earthly kings and the divine kingship. This way, there are psalms that foreshadow, foretell the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Anointed One, Jesus the Messiah. Maybe later, during the season of Lent, while we continue with this 150-day challenge, we may give our attentions to those psalms where we can find the presence of Christ in the words of these ancient hymns. So coming back to the fact that the psalm deals with the different human emotions and circumstances, we can say that the psalms possess tremendous power to relate to us and impact us. So it's true when John Calvin, the great reformer, says, Psalm, the book of Psalm is anatomy of all the parts of the soul. Again, every situation in life is represented in this book. All kinds of emotions a person can experience in life are expressed by the writers of the Psalms. Tears and anger, joys and sorrow, lament and desperations, cries and sighs are all here in the Psalms as they are in our life. Because the Psalms are the words of a people. But what is a blessing here is that these are the words of God's people that have become the word of God to his people. Yes, the Psalms are God's people saying these words, but they are also scripture, part of the canon through which the church seeks to hear the voice of God. They are illuminated by the Holy Spirit and used by God to speak to us. So, yes, even as we use them to speak our words to God, we also find God speak to us in these words. In short, in the Psalms, we find our voice toward God, and also we find God's voice toward us. It's true that it depends on which psalm you read at a certain moment. A given psalm may help us find God's voice to comfort our hearts and console our souls with an assurance of God's help. But based on what psalm we read, we may find God's voice to convict our conscience of sins and to arouse us out of complacency. And I understand by embracing the New Year's A Psalm A Day challenge, every day, yes, you yield up your freedom to choose which psalm you will read for the day as we follow just to guess the number. But I'm sure that you can experience God surprising you in the words of the psalm of the day, even with a psalm that feels nothing to do with you on the day at first, but you may use it as a prayer for those who relate to those words in the psalm of the day. But most of all, always let this thought kind of capture your heart and bring a power to your heart. It is that the psalms are the words of God's people that have become God's word to God's people. That is to say, God has received the words of people's heart and called these words precious and sacred. The 150 psalms all say this: what we feel and struggle inside matters to God. No thought of ours is left unnoticed. No desire or concern is ignored. What a blessing. I think this is the common message that all 150 psalms assure us of. So I lift my heart to God to say, in the words of Psalm 8 today, what is a mankind that you are mindful of them? How is it possible that the creator of the universe has a time to receive our words and to be mindful of us? Like David, who is the author of Psalm 8 and the numerous people of faith since David, we ask in awe how small and seemingly insignificant we feel when we compare ourselves with the heavens. And when we look at the vastness and heaviness of the problem and suffering that we go through. But for these reasons, we need the book of Psalms. The Psalms surely help us to find our voice toward God when we feel so insignificant that we don't know what to say to God. The Psalms help us to express our feelings and also to learn God's words on the very things that capture and overtake our mind and heart. Yes, certainly God has better things to think about, and yet here the Psalms tell us that God's thoughts over us are of love and compassion. After all, not only did his hand set the moon and the stars in place, his hand shaped each one of us in his own likeness, not just at our birth, but throughout our lives here on earth. So friends, the Lord is mindful of you. He knows you. He thinks about you and he loves you. Hey, you may say, hey, these thoughts are too plain and corny and even kind of naive. But I'd like to invite you to let those thoughts speak to your heart and work for you inside of you. Again, the Lord is mindful of you. It may bring you comfort and peace, courage and strength to endure. Then I cannot help but say to myself, again, what are human beings that you, O God, care for us? Preparing and writing this message, I felt my heart and soul visited by God, touched by the Holy Spirit, consoled and encouraged by the Spirit, as my memory ran to the night in my 20s when I was at a boot camp as a military officer candidate after college. You can imagine the fear and anxiety that weighed my heart on the very first day at the boot camp. And more than the other nights, the very first night at the boot camp came to remembrance this week. Having finally finished the dreadful first day of the boot camp on my bed, which was the upper bed in a bunk bed, in the dim light of a sleep lighting on the ceiling, I opened my pocket-sized Bible, New Testament, with Psalms and Proverbs from Gideon. And I start reading the first Psalm. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked. In Korean, 복 있는 사람은 악인의 길을 쫓지 아니하며 죄인의 길에 서지 아니하며 오만한 자의 자리에 앉지 아니하고 오직 여호와의 율법을 즐거워하여 그 율법을 주야로 묵상하는 자들로다. 저는 시냇가에 심은 나무가 시절을 쫓아 과실을 맺으며 그 잎사귀가 마르지 아니함 같으니 그 행사가 다 형통하리로다. 악인은 그렇지 아니하며 오직 바람에 나는 교화 같도다. Verse 4. The wicked are like a chaff that the wind blows away. Though undergoing extreme military training was not about choosing the path of righteousness over the path of wickedness, the words of Psalm 1 somehow mysteriously comforted me and strengthened me and taught me to do what the psalm is to do, which are to open my heart toward God, commit myself to God's thought, depends on God's promise, and endure with the courage that God will give to me. Then every night, for the 4 months at the boot camp, on my bed, sometimes repressing my tears, and sometimes failing to repress my tears only in my tears, I was accompanied by the book of Psalms, and also the journal book, notebook, in the same size as that pocket-sized Bible. I know it's many of you like me that found your voice toward God and found God's voice toward you in the words of the Psalms when you were going through difficult days and nights. Sherry Ochowski, yes, she told me yesterday of the 2 months she couldn't help but hang on. 10 months that she couldn't help but hang on to the book of Psalms, when she knew she should be strong to support her husband Gary in his battle with brain cancer. Friends, you and I may need this book again to anchor ourselves to God's love, in which God cares about what we feel and struggle inside. So let the Psalms speak for you, speak on behalf of you, and help you pray. I found Eugene Peterson's words very true. We love discussing God, but the Psalms resist such discussions. We don't learn the Psalms until we are reading them and praying them. We surely need this book to pray more deeply and to walk more closely with God every day. So I asked myself, hey, Peace, where do you want it to go at the end in this sermon? What can I hope that this sermon does for you? I just hope that you can fall in love with this book of Psalms. Then the Psalms will do rest, satisfying your soul, shining a light on your path, and in connecting you with your Heavenly Father, and filling your heart with the hope that God provides. So come to the psalm every day with a heart honest with God and hungry for God. Yes, do it. Then don't rush reading it. Don't rush off after your reading. Spend some time in meditation, reflection, remembrance, and prayer notice that one phrase or one word can jump out into your heart. Again, let the psalm speak for you, speak on behalf of you, and give you a voice toward God. Let the psalms be your love and your prayer. Come with a heart honest with God and hungry for God. May God's blessings be upon you as you read and pray the psalms, embracing this 150-day challenge with me. Amen.